The West Live.
The West Live.
With Jenna Clark.
About 1.5 million Aussies are receiving job seeker payments, previously known as Newstart. For part-time employees, their payments will fall later, from September 28 to $750 a fortnight. And then again in January, $650 a fortnight. All payments are scheduled to end in March next year. Is this all a bit too soon? And are we pulling out the safety net from our most vulnerable too early by Monday week? Joining me now is Wacos CEO, Louise Giolito. Louise, are people ready to come out of the job seeker, job keeper fog?
Good morning, Jenna. Thanks for having me on the show. And the answer is really, really simple to that. It's way too soon to be pulling the rug out.
Yeah.
We've known, and I'll concentrate just on the job seeker, which people sort of know as sort of the unemployment benefits
yes.
that people are on. Well before COVID, there was a lot of advocacy and a lot of calls, not just from the community service sector and the likes of Wacos, but also from economists. Even John Howard was saying it was way too low.
Yes.
So, and everybody identified you couldn't live on $40 a week. And then COVID hit and they doubled it to $560, which was fantastic. But in a couple of weeks, well, almost under 2 weeks' time, it's going to drop by $300.
Yeah.
And people will be living below the poverty line. And when I say that, I want people to realise that also includes families, single parents with children who will be pushed back under the poverty line once again.
And that's the thing, isn't it, Louise? Because we're going to see them, and then obviously when they are, there'll be new sort of ways that they have to qualify for job seeker, which will mean that they'll have to start applying for 8 jobs as opposed to 4, which can also put added stress if you are, you know, a single parent household. There's all of that issues that happen. In terms of jobs, we keep hearing that our unemployment rate is rebounding quite well, but you're seeing this on the front line. Are there enough jobs to go around in WA? Because as we've heard from your national counterparts throughout the week, there are only about 12 jobs for everyone. There's only one job for every 12 people. So what do you think? How do we move forward as a community on this?
Yeah, in WA, we estimate there's for every job, there's 9 people actually applying. And we know there's some hotspot areas and there's a lot of conversations about regional WA. Mm. And seasonal workers and picking fruit. But if you're established in Perth, have a home, have rental or a mortgage, it's not as easy just to pick up and take very seasonal work, which is extremely low paid at times.
Yes.
So there really isn't the jobs. I know I've got friends, really close friends. I've got family who have worked every day of their life, never been unemployed, and they're working 50% of the time now. And because of the circumstances, I've had friends that have lost jobs who are applying. Mm. They're applying for an immense amount of jobs that are actually out there. And we've got to remember, not everybody, you can't just walk into any job depending on your fitness level, depending on your skills, your experience, what you know. So it doesn't mean, you know, that if you were working in hospitality one day that you can go and work in a bank the next.
Yeah.
The skills need and what's actually missing. And one of our real fears in WA, and you may have heard this expression before, it's going to be a pink recession. We know that the hardest hit is women and young people. And the recovery plans in WA, a lot of that is based on construction, you know, shovel-ready projects to get people back in work. But do we have all those skills ready for those people to actually do those jobs?
Mm.
And it's generally, and I know women can work in those sectors, promote, support it, but they're not the industries where they've lost their jobs and they don't have the skills to go and step into work in construction.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's such a wider conversation to be had about how we really galvanise our workforce moving forward to ensure that we get people into every type of sector and every type of job, and upskilling is such a big thing. But I guess from also as we move into further recovery phases with COVID, community services and frontline services specifically around mental health, domestic violence, I mean, we've seen these issues have been highlighted. In some cases, a 300% increase in domestic violence in some areas. That's going to come to a bit of a tipping point, isn't it, when, you know, we wind back the welfare state. Are you concerned that WA doesn't have the resources required to help victims or people that do fall below the poverty line when all of this winds back?
I think a really good example of this is housing. We know we've got a really shortfall in social and affordable housing. Mm-hmm. That was before COVID. And, you know, many of your listeners will know the rental market is actually ridiculous at the moment with very, very small vacancies, and especially at the lower end. So if you're talking $250 to even up to $350, $400, there's an absolute high demand. So with, you know, when these payments start coming off, and when we talk about JobKeeper, they're the people who are currently on $750 a week. Mm. They're the new clients that our financial counsellors and our emergency relief are seeing, because even on $750 a week, it's not enough to cover all their outgoings, their mortgage repayments, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So when that actually does hit and we start seeing those these cuts, there'll be a much greater demand on our social, and when I say affordable housing, even the private rental market. The state government's done the right thing and put a moratorium of no more rent increases. But what's going to happen to all those people who are going to lose their homes? Mm. And then, well, you know, they're going to be repossessed. They're going to be looking, you know, to come into the affordable market or the social housing. And the wait list in social housing is huge.
Yeah.
So this state government has committed. They are building more. But the problem we've had for, and this is through multiple, you know, it's not just this government, previous governments, they never kept up. Mm-hmm. Actually, housing stock has fallen behind for many, many, many years.
Right. In terms of social housing and public housing, I mean?
Yeah, so when I talk about social housing, that's public housing. So for many, many years, consecutive governments, it's actually fallen behind. While they're doing new builds, they haven't kept up, you know, with the stock and et cetera they've sold. So this government has committed there will be some new builds made, but we need to be purchasing. The wait list is huge. It's well over 10,000 people. And with the onslaught of, you know, people and more people losing their homes or being hit by not, you know, we're going to have the cut in JobSeeker and JobKeeper, you'll find increased demand on our social housing and our public housing stock.
It's just terrifying. And do you think that people don't really understand the severity of the situation come, you know, Monday week and then, of course, December and then March, the fact that we could see even more homelessness and see, you know, families sleeping in cars in WA?
Well, I mean, we've seen an increasing number of people who are homeless. I mean, there's been a lot of publicity, especially around Perth and the city, but there's so many people who are couch surfing. You find women and children, they'll be sleeping in cars, so they're not very, it's not public, it's not in your face.
Yeah.
Overcrowding in houses because people have lost. So it won't, like, instantly happen. It will be a cumulative effect that will happen over the next few months. Mm-hmm. And this federal government still hasn't committed to a permanent increase in jobs in JobSeeker. We're saying it needs to be above, at a minimum above the poverty line, which is $467. But they're, you know, going to be pushing it back to $280 a week. That's what's on the horizon.
Yeah.
And we know the devastating impacts that has on people. People don't eat three meals a day. It impacts their mental health. They lose their accommodation, et cetera, et cetera.
I've been thinking about this a lot, and please excuse, I don't mean this to sound insensitive or things like that, but I remember growing up and hearing the phrase dole bludger was such a really popular thing that, you know, really popped off with tabloid media and things like that. Are you concerned that we're going to see the same type of rhetoric happen when we've got one portion of politicians and the community saying, there's heaps of jobs, just get into mining and resources, and then another saying, like yourself, saying, no, these are the actual hard facts of where we were starting before COVID. Are you concerned that we're going to see a next generation of people arguing over this new type of dole bludger, in inverted commas?
Yeah, that's been on the cards. It's been on the cards for many, many years, and it's been the rhetoric of federal government, you know, through mutual obligations. You'll see a series in the media of, you know, everybody wanting to move down south and surf and living off the dole. But I challenge anyone to try and live off $280 a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, have a good life down and living and surfing. It's not the truth.
Yeah.
But those images are what's actually put up all the time. We work with a group of, it's a long-term piece of research we do with all our families. It's called 100 Families.
Mm-hmm.
And they're single parents and mothers. And we know the positive impact the increase in job seekers had on their lives, being able to go to uni every day because they could put petrol in their car and get fixed. I can talk for a long time. But I am really, really concerned that rhetoric will actually start up again. We've started seeing the signs. I think there's an absolute growth in empathy and understanding because most people now know someone who's been impacted. Even in WA, who's in a much better situation than the rest of the country, knows somebody that's been impacted.
Indeed.
And, you know, and the cost that's having. So it's really, really grown. And the last thing we want is this divide of deserving and non-deserving poor.
Mm.
So there is a real... WACOS, with a whole bunch of partner organisations, did a survey recently. And it was over 73% of West Australians all agree income support isn't high enough. You know, the vast majority said they needed a minimum of $500 per week to pay mm-hmm. their bills.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, you know, it was a rather large survey we did. And so there is real empathy in the West Australian community. There's real understanding that nobody wants children to be living in poverty or knowing that people are actually doing it tough. And,
yeah.
and the majority of people who are unemployed are young people, and a lot of them aren't eligible for Job Seeker because they might be living with their parents
yep.
and they're under the age of 21, or in the around 40 years of age. That's the largest proportion of people, and they want to work.
Yeah.
They don't not want to work.
Yeah.
They want their independence.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a conversation, like you said, I could talk about this for hours because I think that it's going to be really interesting to see how the rhetoric and the narrative sort of changes over the next couple of months and then into the next generation. One final question for you though, Louise, is that I guess you've probably been following the City of Perth mayoral elections and campaign quite closely. Obviously, we've touched on it earlier. Homelessness is a big issue. Have you been consulting with any of the candidates about your ideas for how they should handle the situation?
I've met with one of the candidates, Diane.
Yes.
Hopefully I got that name right.
Di Bain, yes.
But I know Shelter WA have an event coming up where I think they've got all seven coming along.
Yes.
So Shelter WA is the peak body that looks at housing and homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've all agreed to come along and meet with the community service sector and to put forward their point of views. I know it's varying,
yeah.
but it's not I'll leave it with, it's not a criminal offence to be homeless.
Indeed.
And they're often people who are homeless, who are the victims of crime, and we need to be supporting those people. And some of these people have mental health, drug and alcohol issues, so there's a myriad of issues, and nobody wants to see those people living on the streets, you know, in doorways in Perth, most of all the homeless people themselves.
Yeah, indeed. WACOS CEO Louise Giolito, you do an amazing job here in WA. Thank you so very much for your time. We'll speak to you again on the West Live soon.
Thank you very much. Bye.